Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Point of Insanity Game Studios Geekery in General podcast. Now, this episode is pretty much a spur-of-the-moment thing. I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite video games of all time, and that is Pool of Radiance for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, this episode is probably going to be a bit better if you see the video of it, so if you're listening to the audio, go to Point of Insanity Game Studio on Facebook, and I will be posting the video there for your viewing enjoyment. Now, here's what inspired me to do this episode. Last night, I was recording a future episode of the podcast with my friend Dan from Radio Free Borderlands. And one of the things he mentioned is that a website called Good Old Games is going to be re-releasing a bunch of the Gold Box series games. Now, I talked a little bit about these Gold Box series several episodes ago. I don't remember exactly which one, but I did an episode where I talked about some of the Dungeons & Dragons video games I had played. Now, back in that episode, I talked about some of the things I liked about Pool of Radiance and some of the things that I didn't like. Well, what I'd like to do now is I'd actually like to show you some actual gameplay footage from Pool of Radiance for the NES. So I literally dug out and dusted off my NES and hooked it up to my computer in order to record the footage for this episode. And yes, in case you're wondering, yes, I did have to blow my NES in order to get the game to work. So get your Beavis and Butthead adolescent chuckling out of the way right now. So here we are, firing up Pool of Radiance for the Nintendo. So basically starts out, you're approaching the wall here, and make your fortune in New Flan. The City Council of New Flan is seeking heroes to free the city from hordes of evil. Riches, fame, glory. So that is pretty much our intro that you get when you start the game. Now I am going to take you through character generation in a few minutes, but since I already do have a saved game on here, I just wanted to show you a little bit about what happens later on in the game. So, we're going to continue game. So, when the game starts out, you pretty much arrive in the city of New Flan, and you get taken on a tour. One of the things I did like about this game is it did give you the option to flip to an overhead map in some cases, so I really liked that. So essentially you'd get to the city and you'd go to the city council office right over here. Okay, where's the door? It's been a while since I played this game, so I just know that. Ah, there's the door. So this is really the important part in much of the game, because what you're doing is you go to the city hall and you visit the clerk. And what the clerk does is she gives you different missions. Well, first she checks to see if you've accomplished anything. You have done nothing special. I'm hurt. And then she gives you different things. You know, you can find history books. So again, there's thieves and traitors in a mansion outside of town. Destroy them! Another mission, there's these nomads that you have to try to hunt, prevent them from joining the forces of evil, Tyrant Thraxus. So, some other areas of interest, there's various shops around the city, but unfortunately, they all pretty much sell the same thing. But as you can see, if you look at, for those of you watching the video, you'll see that my characters actually have been played before, so of course you can, you know, veer your troops. For this file, I named the characters after some of the D&D characters that my friends and I played back when we were kids. So we have our Dwarven Fighter, we have a half-elf fighter cleric. Yeah, Yamin Kahan, that was my friend Josh's character. Shadow, that was always my character back when we were gaming. He was my ranger. Halanthus, my friend Dan from Radio Free Borderlands, this was one of his characters. Nameless, I forgot who this was. I think this was my friend Dave's character, the Nameless Mage or something. I forgot which, but or Nameless Bard. Yeah, Nameless Bard. That was from the Finder Stone. And Black Star, my normal co-host Steve. His character back when we were playing D&D was called Black Star. And I don't know, that picture doesn't look like much like a male elf, but yeah, whatever. So you see the stats are actually pretty good for some of these characters, and later on I'm going to be showing you what exactly you have to do to get these stats. So like I said, not too bad for a lot of the stats, but what happens is when you first start the game, one of the first things you do is you have to go to the slums of Old Flan, which pretty much I cleared out this out right now, so you can camp in there whenever you want. Do I have spells? Like I said, I haven't played this. Of course, Dwarven Fighters can't use magic. I have not played this particular game in years, honestly. I'm kind of surprised that it worked. Oh yes, another important part in the city. Yes, this is one of the things that is kind of annoying. Whenever you pass by certain areas in the city, it tells you, this is the city hall. Yes, I know. But this is another important part of the city. This is where you go to level up. So what you would do is you meet the trainer, and then you know, you say, okay, I want to train this guy, and if you have enough experience points to level up, then you'll level up. You also have the opportunity to fight duels in here as well. I don't think anyone else has enough. I accidentally pressed the wrong button. Yes, I know, okay. No one else wants to be trained by you, sir. So like I said, you can fight duels, you can hire NPCs, and you go to the main menu, you can actually create new characters. And one of the things that I always did when I played this game is I would create several characters that would just be basically mules, where I just give them items I'm not going to use, because one of the problems with this game is you only have so many slots. I think you only get like 8 slots per character, so you have to be very careful with, you know, what you're carrying, and sometimes you have to drop equipment if, like, let's say you find a scroll and, you know, you might have a potion that you don't want, so you discard the potion. But one of the things that happens later in the game is you can, you know, board a boat to leave town. Now, of course, you can also leave town through the slums, but this is a lot easier. And this is what I like. After you get out of the city, it does give you a large area to explore. So I'll probably get into a fight somewhere. I know where the nomads are, so they're about this area over here, I think. I don't know if I've gotten far enough. Recently abandoned camp. There we go. We'll approach. Uh-oh. Did I make a mistake? Okay, so there's children and men and women. So this is one thing you have to be careful sometimes. What you want to do is, it does give you an opportunity to parlay with NPCs. So one of the things you have to do is you have to choose. Well, it didn't make me do it in this case because this is a part of a story event, but normally what you would do is you would choose who you want to talk, and then you would choose what manner in which you were going to be addressing the NPCs. Like, you could be nice, you could be haughty, you could be mean, you could be sly, and of course that would influence things. So a lot of times it actually paid to be nice. So yes, we will help you. Okay, speed up time here. So essentially what happens is, in this part of the game here, the nomads treat you to dinner and I assume dancing, maybe some gypsy dancing and such. And they tell you about the pyramid, which is something you can do later on, and it's probably one of the most annoying parts of this game. The castle to the west he's referring to in this dialogue, for those who can't see it, is Zental Keep. Which, actually, Zental Keep is a mission you want to go because there's a dwarven fighter in that one that you actually can get gauntlets of ogre power from. So what you want to do, I'm pretty sure that all my characters have spells. Yep, Magic Sleep, Magic Missile. Actually, what I'm going to do here is... we're going to drop a spell because I know what, since I've played this game, I know what's coming. Ah, my old controller here is kind of sticky, so... But then again, it hasn't been played in a while, that's why it's sticky. It has nothing to do with the fact that I had to blow my NES earlier. For you old school gamers, yes, that is a joke that you will understand. Let's see, Memo, Nameless, what spells does he have? Nameless Bard, Finder, Sleep, Sleep, Stink, Cloud. Yes, variety of spells, let's see, and then I think my cleric already had spells. So, we'll rest. Wait, actually, spell, let me just make sure that my... One of the things that actually made this game kind of hard is the only healing spells that your clerics ever got was Cure Light Wounds. So, sometimes what'll happen is, if you're trying to heal up, it's really frustrating when you cast Cure Light Wounds and you only heal your character, like, 2 or 3 hit points. So, now we pretty much just keep resting. And eventually what happens is the chieftain comes. So, yes, we will help you. I'm not afraid of no kobolds and goblins. Okay, the kobolds are attacking. We are going to attack the kobolds. So this is where it switches again to the overview screen, and this is where you have to be very careful with how you do your spells, because... Whoops. Because if you're casting something like Fireball, see, do I have... Okay, don't know if my party has the Necklace of Fireballs, but you have to always be very careful. I think these guys can be affected by Hold Person. I think the... Like I said, let me give that a try. Yep. Now, for those of you who... aren't seeing the video, the field here is kind of this diarrhea green color. That's pretty much the only thing that really sucks about this. You gotta watch out for those yellow guys, because these kobold leaders with their stupid bows are surprisingly accurate. I actually had a character one time that did have an armor class of -10 who was actually getting hit by these little buggers. Okay, come on, get to me. Okay, we gotta wait for everyone. So, those of you who are just... Ah, here we go. Now, this is one thing that is awesome for the fighters. What you can do is, you can do a move called... Oh, I can't get through there. You can do a move called Sweep, where it lets you attack a certain number of... small enemies equal to your level, but only fighters can do that. Okay, so this is my thief. Let's move him into position. Let's see, and I forgot, what does he have? Sleep, I think, yep. Okay, do I have enough range to get them? Ah, almost. So, let's center it on this and get those guys. Yes, okay, these nomads who are doing 1 point of damage. Oh, Yes, I think your nomad friends here only have like 2 or 3 hit points. So, okay, he's got a longbow, so we can... shoot that little bugger over there. What? Oh, and like I said, this is one of the things where it really kind of captures the essence of playing fairly low-level characters, because, yeah, there are times where the combats in this game do take a while, and it's simply because, you know, you're missing half the time. So it is actually really challenging in this game to start these low-level characters. But that's one of the nice things, though, when they give you the sweep ability for your fighters, because, you know, as you can see, I just took out 4 goblins there, so that's where it really pays to have a couple of fighters in the party, because it makes it easier to take out large groups like this. Also, Fireball is a very useful spell. And, someone failed the morale check. The kobolds are surrendering. So this is one of the parts where there's, several different waves that you have to... Okay, he has a dart. I gotta move into position. I know some of you watching the footage are like, okay, this game's so monotonous. Why do you actually enjoy this game? And, well, again, you have to remember that when, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, this is pretty much what we had. So I think you just walk around a little bit more and eventually you run into more. Okay, I wish one of my characters had Fireball. I don't think anyone has Fireball, or again, I don't think anyone had the... I don't think anyone had the Necklace of Missiles, because I know one of the... Well, someone should, because early on in the Slums of Flan... Ah, magic... Nope, that's Magic Missile Wand. Early on in the Slums of Flan, there's a guy you meet who asks if you would... do an errand for him, and if you do the errand, he gives you a reward, of course. What it does is you have to go to this building, and there's a box you have to find, and you bring it back to him, and then you give it to him, and then it has a potion of youth in it, but he gives you some reward, and usually one of the things that he gives you is a Necklace of Missiles, which comes in extremely handy in this game, especially when you have large groups like this that you have to fight. Ah, Necklace of Missile. Yes, I knew that someone had it. So, probably makes sense to give it to the mage in the party. Again, and this is where, for those of you who are not watching the video, this is why you have to be very careful with how you position your fighters, because, you know, again, you'll see here that when you are casting an area of effect spell or using an item like the Necklace of Missiles here, it shows you exactly what the area of effect is. So that means that if you're not careful, you can catch one of your allies in the area of effect. And some of the spells, like I believe Sleep and Stinking Cloud, you both have to make sure that you have those spells cast on someone. Because I think, like, if you might have targets in the area, but if you don't have the spell actually centered on somebody, then it doesn't work the way it should. It doesn't go off. And the game really doesn't follow multi-classing rules, because your wizard characters can cast spells in armor, and your cleric characters can use, well, if you're a fighter cleric, you can use any weapon. Like the Shadow, my fighter cleric in the party here, actually has a longsword +4, and your wizards can wear multi-class wizards can wear plate mail. So, like I said, didn't really follow too closely with the rules on multi-classing. What? Okay, I don't know why it's not letting me attack them, so we'll just guard. And also one of the things that sometimes is a little makes you be a little strategic in this game is it does use the movement rules. So depending on what type of armor you have, that is going to impact how far that your character can move. So in sometimes, like if you find a suit of chainmail plus two, that's actually going to be more advantageous than a suit of plate mail, because your armor class is going to be the same, but with the chainmail, that's actually going to let you move faster, so that makes it easier to lost my train of thought here. Ah, this is the last wave. Chief comes out and pleads with you. Last battle, please help us. Of course we're going to join the battle, for we are noble heroes. I don't know what happens if you refuse. I don't think I've ever refused him helping him. Let's see, he doesn't have any. Okay, well, we're just going to plow through these guys. Okay, I said plow through, but my fighter cleric just missed. Again! Okay, and here is my wizard thief with the trusty necklace of missiles, making short work out of kobolds and these little pests. So it's going to take a moment. Yes, we know they're all failing their saving throw, and even if they do make their saving throw, they're still going to die, because like kobolds in this game have like 3 hit points and kobold leaders have like 4. Now, I haven't really played the original Gold Box game, so if any of you do decide to go to Good Old Games, or if you happen to have this game still for your computer, I don't know how it compares visually, musically to the game. So yeah, that's something I actually would be kind of interesting. So if you have played the original version of Pool of Radiance, you know, please please feel free to comment on. Okay, my cleric has a throwing hammer, that's why I wasn't able to attack in melee. But for any of you who do have this game, you know, please feel free to comment on the Point of Insanity Game Studio Facebook page, and let me know, how does this game compare to the original PC version? I mean, graphically, is it better? Is it worse? Is it about the same? What about the music? You know, is it musically similar? And, a two-handed sword, which is probably just a two-handed sword plus one. I don't remember. Okay, please leave now. Okay, thanks. So so the nomads promise not to join the boss, who is Tyrant Thraxus. I didn't want to fight these guys. I wanted to move, so. But, yeah, like I was saying, if you do have this game, you know, the original version, you know, I would certainly be interested in learning, you know, finding out how this game does compare to the computer version. I mean, I guess my only real thing is the, you know, I mentioned before, the color palette. It's kind of this diarrhea green or diarrhea brown, depending on where you are. I mean, this is a game that I think it would be kind of fun to see this game remade, though, using the current 5th edition D&D rules. Or, you know, even just remade using the 2nd edition rules, too. I mean, I don't know if Wizards would ever remake this game, but I think it would be a lot of fun to play with more advanced rule sets. I mean, granted, it is still a pretty fun game, even though you are limited to just the basic 1st edition rules. I mean, I kid you not when I say that I've played this game several different times, and it does have multiple endings, or actually two different endings. When you finally reach Tyrant Thraxus, he asks if you want to join him. And if you join him, then it just says that, you know, the next week you participate in the battle that destroys Flan, game over. And then, of course, if you actually beat him, which Tyrant Thraxus taking the form of a bronze dragon, I believe, bronze or brass, I forgot which, what happens is you go back to Flan, and of course everyone's hailing you as these great heroes, and then it kind of does some flashbacks. It shows some scenes from the game, and I believe I mentioned this when I talked about the game in my D&D video game episode. One of the things that was kind of frustrating about this game is after you did beat the game, you had the option to take a character sheet. And what that character sheet was is it would let you supposedly import your characters into another game. So I think that I thought I heard that they were going to do Curse of the Azure Bonds as the next one instead of Pool of Darkness, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it still would have been kind of fun because, I mean, yeah, you can devote hours to this game, and then, you know, especially if you do manage to find some good weapons and good armor, you know, it would have been kind of nice to be able to go and, you know, use those items in a different game. Darts are actually one of the most lethal weapons in this game, believe it or not, because you got a character with a decent dexterity, they hit almost all the time with those darts, and you get three attacks with them, so they're actually very useful for taking out small fry like the Sturges here and the you know, kobolds. Also, it's really helpful if you manage to get like a hold person, a sleep, or a stinking cloud to work on an enemy, then what'll happen is... Oh, no man's surprise. Parley. Okay. Okay, we're almost to the town. Okay. We're going to take a boat to New Flan, and I'll show you what happens when... Oh, great. It's nighttime, which means I have to go to the inn and rest. Because the city hall is going to be closed. My memory serves me correctly. Okay, nope. This is the tavern. Taverns are always kind of interesting. Occasionally you can get into, you can listen to gossip, and occasionally you can get into bar fights if the wrong thing happens. So, kind of like real D&D, I guess. Rest till morning. And going back to the town council office. Yes, I know. Get through. Oh, that's annoying, these texts. Okay. The clerk, check whether we owe you a reward. Thanks to you, the nomads never make war against us. So, again, you get a reward. So this is one of the ways that you can advance in the game. You'll get experience points, sometimes gold, sometimes gem, and sometimes they will give you magic items. And then after you've completed the different... See here right now, there's a new mission. A large army of kobolds will join our enemy. So that is actually, again, one of the more challenging parts in the game. If you're not leveled up enough, there's a kobold cave you have to go into. So you're fighting, you have to go through traps, and there's a wyvern in there that you have to fight. So that's a pain in the butt. So here's what you have to do in order to create a character. As you can see from the list here, for those of you who are actually watching a video instead of just listening to the audio, it gives you options. You can be, if you're a human, you can be either a fighter, cleric, magic user, or thief. If you want to be a halfling or gnome, then you can just be a thief. Half-elves, you get a choice between fighter, magic user, or magic user, cleric, or a fighter, cleric. Elves, you can be a magic user, or a fighter, mage, thief, or a mage thief. So yeah, it doesn't really give you the full range. So let's say you just want to make a human fighter. So what you do next then is you choose your alignment. And this is where the fun begins. And you'll see here Again, for those who are just listening to the audio, essentially what it rolled up for me is Strength 13, Intelligence 18, Wisdom 15, Dex 12, Con 15, Charisma 14. So if I was to play this character, okay, why would I put that 18 in Intelligence? So, and also, it doesn't use the max hit points at first level rule, so you'll see that I've only got 5 hit points here. So you could literally spend, you know, an hour just trying to create your characters, because, you know, as I said, it doesn't always put the stats in an area where it would make sense. And I've said this before, I've had times where I've, you know, generated a character where it would have like a 9 or a 10 for strength, but for some reason an 18 in intelligence. Oh yes, here would be a real winner for a fighter. Strength 10, Intelligence 13, Wisdom 9, Dex 16, Con 17, Charisma 13. Well, that is a little bit of Pool of Radiance for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Not sure how it compares to the computer version, but I enjoyed this game. I had a lot of fun with it back when I was a kid. So if you do go to Good Old Games, I would certainly recommend picking this game up. As I said, I can't vouch for how accurate the NES version is to the original version, but it was still a lot of fun, and I guess the thing that I really liked about it is it had a real open sandbox feel to it. Because once you got out of New Flan, you could pretty much wander around and do whatever you wanted, and you could take the missions in any order. For example, that mission I did with the Nomad Camp. Since my characters are, I think, were around like 4th, 5th, 6th level, pretty easy. But if you were to try taking that mission as a bunch of like 1st and 2nd level characters, it would obviously be a lot more challenging. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. So if you have any comments, please feel free to leave them on the Geekery in General, or I'm sorry, the Point of Insanity Game Studio page on Facebook. Again, you can listen to the episode through iTunes, you can listen to it through Podbean, and if you go to Podbean, you'll see there's a button there that says Become a Patron. So if any of you are interested in helping support the show, you can donate a monthly amount, and I don't need much. I'm just trying to look for some donations if possible to cover my monthly podcasting fees. So if you, hey, if you like the show and you feel like pitching in, yeah, feel free to, you know, donate 25, 50 cents a month. You know, that'd be greatly appreciated. Of course, you can also support the show by buying Point of Insanity Game Studio products on drivethroughstuff.com. But really, the biggest thing you can do to support the show, it won't cost you a cent, and that is, please share the show with your friends. So if you have any other friends who are interested in gaming-type shows, say, hey, here's a show I listen to. Take a listen. Maybe you'll enjoy it as well. So thanks again for listening. Have a good evening, or morning, or afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are, and happy gaming.